just for right now. Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 23. The words of Adam. Do you believe in Adam?
Amen.
Believe there was a real man named Adam? I sure do. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." I want to read this quote from M.R. DeHaan about the family. He said, "The nearest thing to heaven on this earth is the Christian family and home, where husband and wife and children live in love and peace together for the Lord and each other." He said, that's the nearest thing to heaven. The nearest thing to hell on earth, he said, is an ungodly home, broken by sin, where parents quarrel and bicker and children are abandoned to the devil and all the forces of wickedness. There's a lot of truth in that quote there. And I want to dedicate this message to the memory of Tommy Hatton and in honor of his wife, Linda, who for over 40 years have lived out exactly what I'm about to say. Leaving and cleaving. Leaving and cleaving. That's what the Bible says right here in our text. A man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. I want to remind you who it was that invented the home and the family, and it was God.
Amen.
He wrote the instruction manual. He made male and female. And He performed the first wedding ceremony Himself. And He told us all about it right here in the Bible, back in Genesis. I want you to turn, please, to Matthew's Gospel. I want us to hear the words of the Lord Jesus. Somebody asked Him a question about marriage, and when they did, He quoted Genesis. Matthew chapter number 19 and verse number 3. The Bible says in Matthew 19:3, "The Pharisees also came unto Him, tempting Him, and saying unto Him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And He answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that He which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." That's Jesus quoting Genesis 2, isn't it?
Amen.
He asked them, "Haven't you read what it says way back in Genesis?" Well, God made Adam on day number 6 of creation week. And that those were, by the way, 24-hour days, literal 24-hour days in creation week, not millions of years, not even thousands of years, but a 24-hour day. That's very clear. Exodus 20 repeats the very same thing. Well, God made Adam, put him in the garden. The Garden of Eden, how beautiful it was, far beyond our comprehension. To think about the Garden of Eden, the place where there was no sin and no sorrow and no pain, no disease, wonderful, beautiful place. God had made Adam out of the dust. It says, "And breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, man became a living soul." I think it's very interesting that modern science has established the fact that man is indeed made out of dust. Same elements in dust, hydrogen, carbon, and oxygen, are the very same things that we're made out of, hydrogen, carbon, and oxygen. Just like God said 3,500 years ago, it just took science about 3,000 years, a little longer, to catch up with the Bible. They're usually at least 1,000 years behind, and sometimes much longer. God made Adam out of the dust, and it is said of man that God made him a little lower than the angels. He's not a little higher than the apes, by the way. He's a little lower than the angels.
Amen.
Evolution is the biggest religious hoax in the last 200 years of false doctrine. But anyway, God made Adam and put him in a garden. And it says, though, that Adam was alone. And God said, that's not good. It's not good for man to be alone. Now that's in contrast to everything else that God said was good. He saw the light that He made, the worlds that He made, and He said it's good after every day of creation. When it was all done, He said it's very good. His creation, no sin. Everything was good, even very good. But then He said there's something that's not good. And that is Adam is alone. He needs a help meet for him. He needs somebody to help him. He's incomplete without a helper. I think of what happened one time at a wedding. It turned out well, but it didn't look like it was going to. Lee Robertson had a wedding at somebody's home. And the bride was not there on time. And everybody waited and they wondered what to do. So there had been a traffic problem. She finally got there, but they said to Lee Robertson, the preacher, do something. He said, well, I can't start the ceremony without her. So he just started singing some songs. But he was put on the spot, you know, and unprepared for this. And the first song he sang was, I Come to the Garden Alone. And he said, if I thought about it, I wouldn't have sung that. I'd have sung something else. Maybe Amazing Grace or something. But it finally turned out all right. But God said, I'm going to make Adam a helper, a companion, meet for him, suitable for him. God did make Adam first because he's the leader. I know some people strangle on that, but that's the Bible and that's true. Anything with two heads belongs in the zoo. Amen. You can't have two heads in the home. You can't have two heads in the church. You can't have two heads anywhere.
Amen.
Anything with two heads is abnormal. It's not going to last. So God made Adam first, signifying that he was the leader and the initiator. And then God made Eve to help Adam. And she wasn't even named till after sin came. She's just woman. And then she was named Eve, mother of all living. But Adam needed a helper. And I think that we all need to know, and women in particular, that their purpose is to help man. That really simplifies and defines the role of a woman to help man in the task that God has assigned him. So woman was made to be what the Bible calls here a helpmeet, to complement, to supplement, to nourish, not to dictate, and not to duplicate. God didn't make a man and then make something almost like a man. No, very different altogether. So then God made Eve for Adam and gave Eve to Adam as a gift to him from God. Very precious and very wonderful and even mysterious. I'll not define that word. I'll just leave that with you. So Adam and Eve, they're different in their roles, but they are equal in dignity and worth. In the sight of God. When it says that Eve was to be Adam's helpmeet, that doesn't mean she's inferior. No, that just means she has a different role. The Lord Jesus made Himself inferior or had a different role than the Father. That doesn't mean He's inferior or less in any way. And we'll talk more about that in future studies. But anyway, God made man and woman equal in their worth and in their dignity. And by the way, that's a truth that's unique to Bible Christianity. Every other religion in the world basically thinks women are worthless. Oh yes. Hinduism, when the husband died, then they burned the wife. That's right. And in the Muslim religion, women are nothing and a man can have five or six wives and women are expendable. And you can divorce your wife in the Islamic religion just because she looks at you sideways. Women are nothing in all the cruel man-made religions of this world. The only religion that upholds and glorifies and protects and dignifies motherhood and womanhood is this, the religion of this book right here.
Amen.
Bible Christianity. It says women are God-given, precious, the weaker vessel. Protect them. Take care of them. Don't abuse them. Don't belittle them.
Amen.
Amen.
That's the Bible. Bible Christianity. Well, God put Adam to sleep and took flesh and bone from his side and made Eve from Adam. Isn't it an amazing thing that the first woman was made from a man? And all others, of course, have been born a woman. But the first woman came from a man. And then God Himself performed the wedding ceremony and He brought Eve to Adam.
It
kind of gives me the idea of a bride coming down the aisle and her father giving her away. Well, it says that He brought Eve to Adam. And God said, Adam, I got something for you today. I brought you a helper. And he started singing. This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She came from my side. Not from my head to be superior to me. Not from my feet that I would trample under her. But from my side to be with me. Under my heart. That I might protect her. And near my heart. That I might love her. He just burst into joyful song. This is woman, which means she came out of man. From his rib. It's amazing what God does for us sometimes when we're asleep. When we don't even realize what He is actually doing. So Adam is so joyful and the wonderful marriage begins. And of course they had problems later when sin came in. But what a wonderful time they had. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, fellowshipping with God. And Eve was his helper. Our text here, I want you to take this home with you. It's a recipe for a successful home. It says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. That's as good a marriage counseling as you'll ever hear in all your life.
Amen.
Right there from long, long ago. It means, for one thing, getting married is a whole new way of life. Requiring total commitment to your spouse. If you're not willing to give your spouse your total commitment, you shouldn't marry them in the first place.
Right.
It says you leave your parents. That doesn't mean that you have to move out of the country, but it does mean that you're not under their authority anymore. You love your parents, you should always love them, but you're not subject to them anymore. You've started your own home.
Amen.
And it means you focus your time and attention now on your husband or your wife. It means, too, that you leave your old buddies that you used to spend your time and the money with and give that attention now and time and money to your husband or your wife. I've seen people get married and then act like they weren't married. And come home from work and then go spend their evenings with their old buddies. Wait a minute, I thought you got married. I thought your best friend now was your wife or your husband. If you don't spend time with your wife, somebody else will. So you leave father, mother, your old buddies. That don't mean you never see them again, but it does mean your spouse is first place. It means that you begin your life together and you learn each other. 1 Peter talks about how the wife is the weaker vessel and the man is to dwell with her according to knowledge. It takes years and you never achieve perfection. But marriage is encouraging one another. Why do you want to marry somebody if you're going to fight all the time? Why don't you get married? Why didn't you spare yourself 10,000 fights and not get married? Marriage is about encouraging one another and working as a team and staying in love and serving the Lord together. If that's not your concept of marriage, you got the wrong concept.
Yes.
Amen.
You have an unbiblical concept that just won't work.
Bye.
It just will not work. I'll tell you how to keep the honey in the marriage long after the honeymoon's over. And that is, practice kindness.
Amen.
And unselfishness. And just treat your husband or wife like you want to be treated. And that'll work in all relationships of life. Try to make their job easier. Be gentle. Thoughtful. That's how to keep the honey in the marriage. I mean, it's no wonder some homes are the way they are. The husband never remembers her birthday, never remembers her anniversary. Well, if you don't remember it, who's supposed to? That's your job. You say, I'm forgetful. Write it on the calendar.
Right.
You're going to get out of it what you put into it, I'll tell you that. If you don't put some time and attention and prayer and diligence, you're just asking for trouble. That's all I know how to say. I'll tell you what Tom Williams said. He said, men, if you spend $100 on you, you ought to give your wife $100. You spend $100 on a shotgun, you give her $100 and let her spend $100 on something she wants.
Right.
Amen. That's right. I did not get one amen. Women, can't y'all even say amen? I'm not talking about things you gotta have. I'm saying if you spend the money on something you want, not a necessity, that's a different category. You spend $200 on a fishing pole, you ought to give her $200 to go shop with her, blow it like you blew yours.
Amen.
That's right. That is only fair. That's nothing but fair. Amen. In fact, Tom Williams said, you start doing that every now and then, your wife will come up to you and say, honey, don't you need a new fishing pole? Or something. Listen to me. You can't be too good to her. That's right. You can't be too good to her. Because when you're being good to her, you're being good to you. Because you are one. And you hurt her, you're hurting yourself because you are one.
Amen.
You better be good to her. Don't you marry her if you ain't going to be good to her.
Amen.
Don't you break her heart because all her life she's wanted somebody to protect her, provide for her, and be good to her. And if you're going to do it, if you're not going to do it, don't lie to her and tell her you will.
Amen.
Leave her alone.
Amen.
That's a serious thing when you promise somebody you're going to take care of them till death do us part. You better mean that. I know there's circumstances, but I know you ought to mean what you say too. So there's the leaving. Then there's the cleaving. What's cleave mean? It means sticking together like glue through the hard times. You'll have hard times. Especially if you're a Christian, means weathering the storms. Remember what you promised, for better, for worse, for richer, poor, sickness and health. That's what you promised, wasn't it? Wasn't that in the vows? Cleaving means being there for one another. Committed for life. Best friends, one. In body, soul, spirit, and inseparable. That's what cleaving means. And that's not all. And I'm almost done. But more than that. Especially the husband is obligated to be willing to die for his wife. Ephesians 5 says that he's to love his wife like Christ loved the church. Who died for the church. Didn't Jesus die for the church?
Amen.
And sir, if you're willing to die for her and you love her that much and she knows it, she's not going to have trouble submitting to you when she knows you love her that much.
Amen.
It's not going to be a chore. But when she don't know if you love her or not, then it'll be a different story. But the husband is under obligation to die for his wife if need be, and even as Christ died for the church. One final thing. It wasn't just Adam whose side was opened. Do you know somebody else whose side was opened? When Jesus was on the cross, his side was opened by a Roman spear. And out came blood and water. And his bride is the result. Adam's bride came from his side. And Jesus' bride came from his side. His church, his bride, is the result of the nail or the pierced side of the Lord Jesus. That's you and me, the church, all the saved of this dispensation. Of course, I want to remind us of the foundation of any home, of any life, and that is salvation.
Amen.
If you're not saved, you don't have anything to build on.
Right.
It's like building your house on the sand. It can't survive. There's no way you can have the love and commitment that you need to have until first of all you get saved. Then you know what love is. Then you have the desire and the power to be what you ought to be. The husband, the wife, the mom, the dad, the brother, the sister, whatever you need to be. First of all, you need to get saved. You need to get saved. There's no way you can enjoy your life. There's no way you can be what you ought to be. So first of all, you become a child of God. And then you'll want to line up with this book. You want to find out what God says, and you'll want to do it God's way.
Amen.
I know we've all made mistakes, and we can't go backwards, but we sure can learn from those mistakes.
That's right.
We can get it under the blood. We can go on from right now.
Amen.
And say, Lord, please help me from right now to make right decisions based on Your Word. Lord, not my will, but Thy will be done. Show me, Lord, what You want me to do, what You would have me to be, Lord. Not my will, but Thine be done. That's the way we all live. That's the way we all live. Well, that's the way God set it up in Genesis. And I believe that will work. You may not need this message today. If you don't, I hope you'll put it on the back burner and remember these words. Leave. And cleave. And if I could give one more word, and I won't develop it, but it rhymes, and that's weave. So you leave your father and mother, you cleave to your husband or your wife, and then by the help of the Lord, you weave together the life, a wonderful Christian life that God wants you to have. That's God's way. That's God's plan. The world's way is not working. I believe we need to get back to something as old as the book of Genesis. I think of some fellows that I know. Good men. Brothers. All three of them. You wouldn't know them. At one time they were well respected and known. But every one of them's home fell apart. Preachers, well known, respected, but they didn't spend the time they needed to spend with their own family, and it fell apart, ended in disgrace. And that's a warning to me, to every preacher and every Christian: you better spend the time you need to on your own family. Those times flying by, and those kids are going to grow up, and you're not always going to have your husband and wife. You better take care of them, do what you ought to do, make their life a blessing, not a burden. Because we're going to leave this world one of these days, and we want to leave behind a record that's crystal clear that we love the Lord, that we loved our family. I don't care if you're the richest man in the world. If you're not saved and you don't love the Lord and you don't love your family, you're nothing. Amen. You heard me. That's right. There's no way to earn God's favor and respect if you despise and reject His Son. That's where it begins. At an altar. And then every day, at an altar. Lord, what would You have me to do? May God help our families. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. They're coming around to get us a song. We're going to pray. We're going to have an invitation. I just felt like the Lord laid that simple verse upon my heart for this hour. I trust you'll take it home with you. I know it's a battle. It's a battle for every Christian, for every family. But God can give us the grace. He can forgive us of our past. He can take us from here to where He'd have us to be. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the Bible that tells us, most importantly, how to be saved, but also tells us, Lord, how to conduct ourselves as individuals, families, as a church. Lord, how to be a light in a dark world. Lord, how husbands and wives and children should behave. And Lord, how we should order our homes according to Thy Word. Help every husband and wife, dear Lord, to follow the Word of God that they may have Your blessing, Your smile, Your leadership. Lord, I pray You'd touch the sick, the afflicted. I ask, Lord, especially for Your grace, Lord, in this time of our great sorrow and bereavement as a church and Tommy's passing. Lord, I know You had work for him there. And Lord, we know it's not goodbye. It's just so long till we meet again. Lord, I ask You to save the lost. I ask You to strengthen and help our families in this time. Lord, where there's temptation on every hand and trouble, Lord, would You help us? Would You intervene? Would You show us, Lord, that we can be what we've never been before? Now hear every prayer. May You be glorified in our lives. Help husbands to take the lead. For that's what You command. And now touch every life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're standing for an invitation this morning. Would you stand, please, as we sing this morning? What number? 347. Let's sing. The altar's open. If you feel the need of prayer, let Him have His way as we sing. Yeah.
trust you'll take God's word home with you, apply it to your life. Thank God for mamas and daddies. Thank God for our heritage. For those who paved the way and shown us the way. We live in a world that's very smart and full of